We bid you welcome. Glad you're with us. And tonight we're going to begin a series of lessons from the book of Proverbs, a list that God hates in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These are not the only things that God hates. Go to other verses in the Bible, other sections. Even when I read some other verses concerning pride, you'll see God adds to the list of those things he hates. For example, every wicked way. That's not the list. So we'll take a look at that. So tonight is just a proud look. The verse itself, Proverbs 6, beginning of verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. False witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. Wow. Well, by definition, I put just a little bit in your notes. When you look up the word pride in the dictionary, or thesaurus, even the Greek dictionary in the New Testament talks about the word pride. Lots of words. I say I like definitions. The one thing, not only because it defines the word, but many times the definition itself gives the application. So here's some of the things that the proud look is defined as: arrogance, haughty. I put pride, this wasn't in the dictionary, it's my phrase. Pride gone bad, because some things we can be proud of, and that's legitimate. But it's the abuse, pride, abuse. Think highly of oneself. To vaunt or boast. Having or displaying feelings of scorn for what is regarded as beneath self. A feeling of superiority that shows itself in an overbearing attitude. Conceit. Vain. Snobbish. Uppity. Pompous. Bloated. I liked that one. Pretentious. Smug. Inflated head. So, and the list goes on. When I looked it up in Webster, Webster gives two paragraphs of definition. Kind of proud of that definition. Just a lot of attention to it. I remember a story about Cassius Clay. He had changed his name to Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Was in his prime, he was known for that phrase, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. I'm Muhammad Ali. And that was his boast. But one time he was about to take off in an airplane. The attendant reminded him of his need to fasten his seatbelt. Rather brashly, he replied, Superman don't need no seatbelt. The attendant's quick response was, Superman don't need no airplane either. So he fastened his seatbelt. In Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance, I kind of keyed on that word, a proud look, just that look. So the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Psalm 18, verse 27, for you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Psalm 105, verse 5, the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. Perhaps a similar expression might be when we use the phrase, or we've heard the phrase, you know, he looks down at down his nose at others. Perhaps that might be an expression that would give an explanation. In Isaiah 2, verse 11, the lofty looks of a man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord shall be exalted in that day. In the book of Proverbs, there the The word pride comes up a dozen times, so I've labeled this the dirty dozen of pride in Proverbs. So I already have these written down, so I just don't, so I don't have to keep turning the pages, so you can just listen as I read these verses. Chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Heard someone say, pride's the only disease that everyone around you suffers from, except yourself. Except the one that has the pride. Everybody else suffers from that, but he doesn't. Verse 2. I heard the story, too, about, they're always Texans, I guess, but...
So much to work with.
Two Texans. They were trying to impress each other on the size of their ranches. So one asked the other, "What's the name of your ranch?" He replied, "Oh, it's the Rocking R Flying High Rolling Rainbow Circle K Silver Spur Ranch." The other one said, "Man, that's impressive. Wow, that's some name. So how many head of cattle do you have?" He says, "Oh, not many, very few survived the branding." Went a long way for that joke.
That's a stretch.
Proverbs 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. 14, verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is the rod of pride. The lips of the wise will preserve them. Chapter 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Verse 18 of chapter 16. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Same chapter, 16, verse 19. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Chapter 21, verse 4. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Chapter 21, verse 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Chapter 28, verse 5. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And the last one, chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble spirit will retain honor. So in the rest of your notes, I just listed some things. This doesn't exhaust the list by any means. But some of the consequences of pride. Thing like, most people might not view pride as a huge offense. I mean, they go, "Oh, it's just a little thing." Almost proud of their pride. But God sees it as a major infraction. And you know, in Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways." So our task is to bring our thinking in line with God's. Pride is number one on the hate list. You know, is there any significance in that? But after that, pride comes before lying, wicked plans, false witness, discord. Pride. By contrast, Jesus is described in Matthew 11, 29 as gentle and lowly, meek and lowly. In Philippians 2, verse 8 says Jesus humbled himself. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he also suffered for us. So there's a contrast when you look at the life of Jesus. And then we are called upon to be humble. You know, in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I remember the story again of Liars Club. was having their national meeting to see who could tell the biggest lie, you know, the contest. Had the two finalists who could tell the biggest whopper, you know, the biggest lie. First one got up and he began his lie with the phrase, "There was this humble Texan." The other man interrupted him and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." He says, "I concede. I can't beat that." I don't think I'm the Texans here. Number one is pride's consequence destroys kings and nations. And again, there's just the list. And I'll read the verse in its entirety. It's just kind of impressive to see how pride was associated with so many nations, especially in the Old Testament. Here's the list. Jeremiah 13, verse 9. "Thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." Jeremiah 48, verse 29. "We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is exceedingly proud. And of his loftiness and arrogance and pride, it's not right." Jeremiah 50, verse 29. "Call together the archers against Babylon. Let none of them escape, for she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel." Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Ezekiel 30, verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, those who uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down." Obadiah 1, verses 1 through 4. "The Lord said, thus says the Lord concerning Edom, the pride of your heart has deceived you. I will bring you down, says the Lord." Zechariah 9, verse 6. "I'll cut off the pride of the Philistines." Zechariah 10, verse 11. "The pride of Assyria shall be brought down." So while the Old Testament mentions Judah, Jerusalem, Moab, Babylon, Sodom, Egypt, Edom, Philistines, and Assyria, God said, "I'll bring them down." Pride. Second, it defiles the individual. I'll just read the verse on this one. In Mark chapter 7, beginning of verse 20, I'll read the entire section, verses 20 through 23. Jesus said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." Pride. Number three, a verse I mentioned at the top, but does not seek God. Psalm 10, verse 4. "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." You see the result of pride, the consequences. 1 John 2, verse 16, "For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world." Number four, consequence, causes boasting and arrogance. In Psalm 12, verse 3, it says, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things." Those who have said, "With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us?" So he speaks proud things. I can do it my way. Psalm 73, verse 8 says, "They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens." Pride. Remember the story of one fisherman. He observed, "No man, having caught a large fish, goes home through the alley." If you caught a large fish, you don't go home through the alley. Show that thing off. Another story. I saw this one. It says on, in fact, I just had to rewrite it. It says on May 31st, 1889, a terrible flood took place at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Took thousands of lives. One survivor, and he told the people about the flood every chance he had. So the story goes that he died and went to heaven. And there he was told he could have anything he wanted. So he said, I want a great hall where I can tell my story to tens of thousands. The lone survivor of the flood at Johnstown. So the day came and the hall was packed. As he was ready to make his talk about the Johnstown flood, the master of ceremonies told him he would be the second speaker on the program. The first speaker would be a man named Noah. Someone said, don't brag. Remember, it isn't the whistle that pulls the train. Don't brag. Number five, it causes us to scorn others. Psalm 119, verse 51. The psalmist said, the proud have me in great derision, yet thou not turn aside from your law, O God. Verse 122 of Psalm 119. Do not let the proud oppress me. In Luke chapter 18, very familiar story. Jesus spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
Yes.
Two men went up to the temple to pray. Oh, that's a good thing. The one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector, a publican, depending on your translation. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. Well, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, the publican, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Remember, two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men went to pray. But only one was justified. So Jesus concluded, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So pride causes us to scorn others. Number six, we will lie about others, is the verse itself. Psalm 119, verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. Get a visual of that one. Grease, pride, your heart is fat as grease. I remember when I was younger, my mom had a coffee can always under need to sink. You catch that grease, and boy, if it sat for any length of time, it was like paste. Boy, grease. The proud's heart is fat like grease. So the heed the warnings is the last one. Just simply Jeremiah 13, verse 15. Jeremiah said, hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. In James 4, verse 6, God resists the proud. I don't want that. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Galatians 6, verse 3, if anyone thinks himself to be something, He is nothing. He deceives himself. Wow. Interesting. So that's the lesson. We'll continue these things. I'll try to give you an outline for each one. But next week we'll look at a lying tongue. Think of a, well, why it comes to me, but think of a story. When Christine's dad, Daryl, you know Daryl Collins, and his brother Leon would always get together. It was just a joy because they would just laugh and tell old stories, and many times you learned a lot about them, especially the hardships or just the troubles and things that they got into growing up. It was always the first guy didn't have a chance in telling a story. So Leon one time told the story about this big, huge fish that he caught. And it was obviously much larger than even probably that kind of fish. So Daryl said, well, Leon, we were out in that same reservoir in a boat with one of the grandkids, and he accidentally knocked the lantern over into the water. And I'm fishing at night. So he said, well, couldn't get it, but came back the next week. I came back to that same spot, and I said, I wonder if we can hook that lantern. So we dropped a line down with a hook, and wasn't very long till we caught that lantern and brought it back up. And Daryl says, you know what, Leon? That lantern was still lit. Leon says, tell you what, Daryl, says, I'll shorten the length of my fish if when you tell that story, you turn the light out in that lantern. Alright, so always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this evening, I'll remember the New Testament church, but if you've not been baptized for remission of sin, we can accomplish that. Want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or just prayers for whatever reason, we can certainly honor that request. We simply need to let it be known. So let's stand together and we'll sing this song of encouragement selected for us. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, please come on.